Good morning. Good morning. So good to see you. Welcome. We're glad you're here today. So much to be thankful for. God has blessed us. Let's be thankful. Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving, joy, and praise in our hearts for all that you've done for us. More than that, Lord, we're just grateful for who you are and your character, and that you love us, that you're faithful to us. You answer prayers, and we thank you for doing that. We thank you, Lord, for the people that are here today, for guests, people in to see family, and just thankful for that. Thankful for our children, many of our children being involved in a local production last night, and just glorifying you by showing off their talents for your glory and doing a great job. We're thankful for family and friends that are gathered here for that this weekend. We're thankful, Lord, for our pastor and for his love for you and love for the gospel and the word of God. I pray that you would empower him today to proclaim the good news to us, and that we would hear the truth, that we would be able to glean and understand your word today. Let your Holy Spirit teach us. I pray that you would equip us, Lord, for good work as well, that we'd go out into the community and throughout the world, in fact, Lord, in sharing the good news and loving people in your name. Strengthen us now as we sing and worship, Lord. Pour out your spirit through us and pour out the praise, Lord, through our voices. Lord, don't let us be silent today. Let us praise you with our whole heart and our voices for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing. Use the voices that God gave you to proclaim the good news that God so loved the world, he gave his son for you and for me.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
Can you see his
open arms?
Here we go.
For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Bring all
Amen. Praise the Lord with me this morning. God deserves all the glory and the praise for the great things He has done. We worship Him.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
To be careful when you do that. I've already had my mic on, and then you stop, and then we start singing, and my mic is on. Ben, was I through the hole? Sorry about that. Welcome. Glad you're here. Glad you're part of our time of worship. Take a minute, walk around, and welcome your friends. Good to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
I tell you what, I'd rather you stand on this one. Sorry about that. Now, the reason is, this is the choir's going to lead this one, so I'm tempted to have you sit, but this is a worship song that they're leading, and I want you to sing it as if the praise team were up here leading. So I want to kind of get used to that. This is the worship choir, worship leading choir, and so it's not for entertainment purposes. It's for worship leading purposes, so we want you to worship the Lord, and you have a voice. Whether you think it's good or not, God gave you that voice, so use it to praise. Now, this song is kind of repetitive, so if you don't know it, if you hang on long enough, you'll recognize the tune. All right, so here we go.
You may be seated.
Yes.
Ushers, if y'all have come, Father, thank you so much for this great day of worship. Thank you for the time that we spend together as the body of Christ, focusing our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our soul. That is everything we are, everything we have, focusing on you, sovereign God, the giver of life, eternal, abundant, and free. So, Father, we celebrate you today. We're thankful for the gift of life that comes to us in Jesus. And we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to join you in this thing called the mission of the gospel, to carry this good news all over the world, right here in Gunnersville, and then all over the world to share the good news of the gospel. So thank you, Father, that you've led us to truth and that that truth claim of the gospel will bring life. We will know the truth and the truth will set us free. And we're thankful today, Father, for the freedom that we have in Jesus. Lord, as we give because we want to join you. We give, Father, not begrudgingly. We give with joyful hearts, Father, to join you in the mission of the gospel. In all things, Father, we praise you for today. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Sorry, Ken, I'm on a like. If you're able, I would like it if y'all would stand for this song. It is a strong worship song, and I think standing makes it a little bit stronger somehow. If you're able to stand and you would like to, please stand. It's also kind of like a prayer. I think everybody in here knows somebody that struggles with addiction or anxiety or depression or something. But Jesus, he's got it. So sing this with us. Sing it like a prayer to Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Darkness over every enemy, and
Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every
truth. Thank you for the name of Jesus, and that his name is the name that's above every name. It is the only name that we can be saved by. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are the Lord. We confess that today. We trust that. We trust your word today. So as Joel comes to teach us and bring the sermon to us, that we would hear it, respond to it, and live out the truth in our daily lives. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and let us shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the street. That you'll break down the barriers of darkness and sin and death as you have, Lord, but we want to see it in completion when that day comes. But in the meantime, Lord, would you break down the depression, anxiety, the fear, the disbelief. Let your name be exalted. Bring healing and power to people's lives. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Worship team, thank you, Rachel. That was a great testimony, and you are correct. Everybody's got something. Everybody in this sanctuary deals with something. And the need for the Father is greater and greater and greater as the days go by. So thank you, Rachel, for that testimony. All right, so Hosea chapter 5 is where we are. We're back in Hosea. And we'll be back in Hosea until we finish. No more starting and stopping. That'll be 1st of August, I guess. So Hosea chapter 5 is where we are. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We'll just read verses. I'll let you know what verses we'll be reading and at the time when we get there. All right, so far in our study, chapters 1 through 4, the Lord has married Israel. The Lord has then rejected his bride for committing adultery with other gods. And then he's wooed her back. All right, so that's what we've got so far. So he's married Israel. She has committed adultery with other gods. And now he was in the process of trying to woo her back. I struggled with some things in chapters 1 through 4. And I was really helped by a guy named Joel Beek. Obviously, with that first name, he's got to be brilliant. So here's what he says. If we read these passages as if they are about individual redemption, We might think that we can be saved, lose our salvation, regain it again, lose it again, and on and on and on and on and on. That our salvation is based on how good we are. Whoa! I don't want any part of that. However, Hosea did not speak primarily of individual redemption, even though personal salvation was certainly a part of the plan. Yes, Hosea preached first to God's people, the mixed body of believers and unbelievers that made up the old covenant visible community. His marriage, divorce, and remarriage analogies reflected God's relationship to the nation as a whole, and their hearts motivated by idolatry, thus turning away from Him. However, some of the faithful to the Lord, that's what I want to be. I want to be one that is faithful to the Lord. And those faithful to the Lord had hearts motivated by love for Him. And yet, even still, they suffered alongside their faithless brothers and sisters. But the Lord never divorced them. They, faithful, suffered, yes, alongside their faithless brothers and sisters that had turned to everything other than the Lord, but the Lord never fully and finally divorced them. God's divorce of the visible covenant community was coming because of sin and idolatry, and they had pulled away from the Lord. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you leaders of Israel. Listen, you members of the royal family. Judgment has been handed down against you, for you have led the people into a snare by worshiping the idols at Mizpah and Tabor. You have dug a deep pit to trap them at Acacia Grove, but I will settle with you for what you have done. That is blue. All right, so during Hosea's ministry in the northern kingdom, from the death of Jeroboam II all the way down to the fall of the capital city of Samaria and beyond, few locations were more dangerous than the throne room of Israel. I don't know if any of y'all remember this, but a few weeks ago, I was telling you about this tumultuous time. This time that Hosea is prophesying and preaching is the time after the death of Jeroboam II when everything was good. All the way down to this moment when the fall of the capital city of Samaria. So in between that time, I told you that there were six kings, all right? All of a sudden, six kings during that time period. Four of the six were brutally murdered and assassinated. You know, you've heard the old saying, it's good to be the king. Well, it wasn't good to be the king then. And it was terrible to be the king. Most of these kings, most of four of the six, they lasted less than 6 months. Now, had these rulers, these leaders, these godly leaders, had they addressed the real problem, which is exactly what we're trying to do, had they addressed the real problem of spiritual rot, they might have lived longer. Simply put, the Northern Covenant community refused to trust the Lord alone. And the people, following their rotten kings, served other gods. Ephraim, the leading Israelite tribe in the north, defiled the land with terrible idolatry. Verses 3 and 4. I know who you are like, and I know what you are like, O Ephraim. You cannot hide yourself from me, O Israel. You've left me as a prostitute leaves her husband. You are utterly defiled. Your deeds won't let you return to your God. You are a prostitute through and through, and you do not know the Lord. So spiritual failure reflected itself not just in individual behavior, not in the body and their behavior, but also in their foreign policy. So instead of trusting God, they turned to Assyria. So that would be like, let me try to give you how bad this is. All right, so we've got issues here at First Baptist Church. We got problems. And with these problems that we have here at First Baptist Church, we've got this group fighting this group, and we've got this group fighting this group, and half the people hate the color of the carpet, and the other half love the color of the carpet, and we're fighting, and it's just, we're just all this fighting and all this infighting. The leaders over here, this half leaders, they want to, and so we have this group in our church that has decided, we want to fix this. So we all get together, this group that wants to fix this, and we're going to fly out to Las Vegas for our advice. I don't think we're going to get the advice that we need. That's Assyria. Get it? Who in their right mind, who knows the Father, sovereign God, who in their right mind then turns to Las Vegas for help? Anybody? No, that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to Vegas to see if they can find some truth. Like a lion, the Lord wounded Israel. But man, look at verses 13 and 14. When Israel and Judah saw how sick they were, Israel turned to Vegas, to the great king Satan. But he could neither help nor could he cure them. I will be like a lion to Israel, like a strong young lion to Judah, and I will tear them to pieces, and I will carry them off, and no one will be left to rescue them. You get it? You see what's happening here? We're turning to everything other than sovereign God. We're doing everything that we can to find everything other than sovereign God for the answer to our issues and our problems. And they turned to Assyria because Assyria, like Vegas, wooed them. Oh, isn't it great to go? Now, I've been to Vegas, and it's wonderful, and it's fun. All of those good things. I'm not trying to just totally renounce Vegas. As long as you've got your head in the right place, you're all right. But the point that I'm making is that they were turning to Vegas for their answers. Because Vegas was saying, come on, man, it'll be fine. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. And it'll be fine. It'll be great. Come on in. And they did. And they bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. And as soon as they were letting their guard down, Assyria, Vegas turned on them like a lion. Too late now. And Father God was looking at his own people and he was saying, I've been warning you about this since birth, and you just won't listen. Boys, this is sounding familiar. Idolatry and false worship always leads to sin, and that always leads to pain, death, and hell. Let me say that again. That's the whole point of the sermon. Idolatry and false worship, that is, anything other than God, it always leads down the path that is sin. And that always leads to pain and death and hell. A heart that is motivated by anything other than God and God alone will always lead to pain, death, and hell. And it was that way in the Old Covenant. Right here in the Old Covenant, that's exactly what the problem was. And then we jump over to the New Covenant and we realize that the New Covenant's the same. Anything other than God, idolatry, false worship always leads to sin, and that always leads to pain and death and hell. And yet, we keep on trying it, don't we? Maybe I'll be the one that it won't hurt. Man, sin is a powerful motivator, church. Now, here's the problem that we could have if we're not careful. And I got to work through this pretty quick. If we're not careful, we could look at this old covenant problem and say, well, that's a problem that was happening in the 8th century before Christ. We fast forward now to the 21st century America, and we don't have those issues because I don't know of anybody that has ever come to my office and said, hey, I got some issues, I got some problems, I need to deal with it. What's your problem? Well, I worship Baal. No. Although I do think that would be kind of funny if somebody did do that. You worship Baal? Really? Okay. So nobody worships Baal. So the issues have changed over the centuries, but we still have the same heart, head issues. It would be like in the New Testament. One of the great arguments of the New Testament is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and the book of Galatians is written all, that's exactly what the whole book is written about. If eating meat that has first been offered to a pagan idol offends or hurts the weaker brother or sister in Christ, then for the love of all that is holy, just don't eat the meat. What Paul is really talking about is he's talking about freedom. We are free. Our consciences are free because we've been set free in Jesus. And with that freedom comes responsibility for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can carry on the good news of the gospel. Okay? But if you only look at that issue and you go, well, we don't have meat that's been offered to a pagan idol. I promise you that when I go to Foodland to get fillets, and I say, I want four fillets, I never ask the dude across the counter, now have these fillets been first offered to a pagan idol? Because I don't want them if they've been offered. No, we don't have that issue. So it would be easy to say, we don't have that issue today. But you're missing the whole point. The biblical point is freedom that we have in Jesus and then the responsibility that we have with that freedom. Well, the same is true in the Old Covenant. Nobody worships Baal. We don't even need to pay attention to this. No, same issue. Different topsoil, but same depth of issue. And that is idolatry and false worship, anything other than God. Now, we know these things on an individual level. I'm talking today about the body of Christ and the corporate level. We know these things on an individual level. Money, material possessions, sexual relationships. We know all of the issues that we all struggle with, that Rachel was some of the things that Rachel was talking about in her testimony. So we all know those individual things that we struggle with, making those things an idol rather than God Himself. But what about the body of Christ? Well, we struggle as the body of Christ just like we do as individuals. What are some of the things that we struggle with in 21st century America that they didn't struggle with in this day and time, but they struggle with the same heart issue? Well, one is what we dealt with last week, nationalism. And we talked about that last week. Sometimes the body of Christ can find itself worshiping the nation and not the God who gave the freedom in the nation. So we talked about last week, we worship sovereign God and sovereign God alone, and we celebrate the freedom that He's given to us. But sometimes some denominations, some churches will take that too far, and next thing you know, they've turned the nation into an idol and they're worshiping the idol. Anything, no matter how good it is, other than God, is an idol. And church, that's false worship. And that's sin. Health, wealth, prosperity. All right, next, we're going to go for that one for an hour. Put the timer on. I'm just kidding. Health, wealth, prosperity. What is the health, wealth, prosperity? The health, wealth, prosperity gospel is no law, not a gospel. The health, wealth, prosperity gospel is me trying to assuage my guilt. I want money and I want more money and I want more money and I want more money. And I know that the Bible speaks about that greed is a problem, and that it can turn into the idol itself. So I know that. But what if I can somehow figure out that God, take the Bible, turn it over on its head, and make the Bible say that that's what God wants for me. God, what God really wants for me is health and wealth. And I justify my sinful behavior. That's an idol. And that's sin. Liberals have the problem with the social gospel. So they don't have problem with health, wealth, and prosperity. They know that's a sinful idol not to worship. But what they struggle with, the liberal left then will struggle with the what they call the social gospel. And they forget the fact that we're to live today with eternal values in this world. And they will turn helping people and lifting people up out of their issues and equity and all of those words. Are all those things good? They're really good. Should we help people? Yes, we should. Of course we should. We should be lifting people up and helping all that we can. But what happens when you no longer are worshiping God, but you worship that? That's an idol. And that's sin. And that's a problem. Probably the one that we struggle with the most as the body of Christ is not health, wealth, and prosperity or social gospel or nationalism, but the fact that God wants to give me a good life. Really? Is that why God, is that why Jesus came to die, to give you a good life? I've never read that in Scripture. Oh, yes, that's God wants to give you a good life. Yeah, oh, that's okay. Can you imagine that when the Apostle Paul died and he stood before God the Father in heaven, and Jesus was standing there beside God the Father, and Jesus said to Paul, why didn't you read Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 that I just have the great plans for you and all this? You lived hell on earth for me. Paul must have just not gotten that memo. The apostles were brutally murdered, hung, crucified, hung upside down. Others, as the scripture says, were sawn in two. They must have not ever read Jeremiah 29:11. So what happens when you have this idea that that's what God wants for you, for all of us? Well, you can turn that into an idol. And that leads to sin. We are saved by faith alone, through grace alone. But we cannot forget the fact that the Lord deals with the church as a corporate body. Denominations, movements, congregations, we must always guard ourselves individually and as the body of Christ against any type of idol worship, any type of false worship, anything that is other than sovereign God and God alone and the good news of the gospel that He gives us in Christ Jesus. So that we don't have to endure the ramifications of judgment and false teachings and idolatry and what that brings to us as the body of Christ. Anything. They proved it. New Covenant Church proved it. We're still proving it today. Anything other than God and God alone is unfaithfulness to Him. And it is idolatry. And it is false worship. And it is sin. Father, thank you for that powerful word today. My goodness, I don't want to be caught false worshiping. I don't want to be caught with idolatry. Every day, and even Sunday, as the body of Christ, I say to you, Father, I worship you and you alone today. Sovereign God. Nothing else. No matter how good those other things may be, they're good things. But when I worship those things, they all of a sudden, even those good things become sin. because anything other than you is false and will lead down a pathway that is destruction called death and hell. So thank you, Father, for a powerful word today from Hosea, even in the old covenant, dealing with your people who had chosen everything other than you. And now here we are in the new covenant, and we're just as guilty sinners. But your word, Father, today brings us to the truth, forces us to face the power of the truth, that it's you and you alone, nothing else. For those of us in the new covenant, man, we've seen the power of that through the gospel. What you have done for us in Christ Jesus to give us life everlasting, to give us abundant life in the name of Jesus, and to give us freedom from the condemnation of our sin. What a powerful, powerful truth. Father, thank you for the gospel today. Even from the old covenant, 8th century, we still hear the good news of the gospel. Anything other than you, pain, death, and hell. Thank you. It's pretty simple. May we live that truth, Father. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Our invitation is, I'm committed, and I'll be here at the front. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. So I'll be here to receive you and pray with you if you need to come and pray. Join our church. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
I'm committed to following. I'm committed to Christ the King. I'm committed to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. I'm committed to live by faith. I'm committed to His saving grace. I'm committed to the Lord with all my heart and all my soul.
All right. please be seated. First of all, we have Josh, Allison, Jake, and Lizzie coming today, saying they know Christ as their Savior and Lord. Been coming to First Baptist Church for a minute, and so Jake, Josh, and I, we had a good conversation last week. Talked about we want to make First Baptist Church officially our home. So they're coming today saying they want to make First Baptist Church their home. They know Christ as Savior and Lord, have followed in believers' baptism, and saying that this is now their church home. All of you in favor of the Whitleys coming and being a part of First Baptist Church, anybody opposed other than Kevin and Amy that live across the street from them, then everybody else seems to be good. All right. We're glad that they're coming today. In just a few moments, as we're heading out of here, going to Sunday school, come by and say a word of encouragement to the Whitleys as they come today. All right, what have we got first? I don't know where to look, Ken. Grief support, starting a grief support, starting August the 26th. If you need more information about that, call the church office. Paul and others are going to be doing that and starting the grief share support group. We're going to first look just here at First Baptist Church. And then once that is, we've given First Baptist Church an opportunity to sign up and be a part of that, then we're going to turn it over to our entire community. So that is a great, great ministry. So we'll be telling you more about that in the weeks to come. All right. What is that, Ken?
Women's Bible Study, the Awe of God.
Oh, that's the one led by Aaron Miles starting in, okay, yeah, August 19th, okay. Sorry. Where's the sign up for that, Aaron? Just show up. Yeah, just show up. Just show up. It's Wednesday night. We'll start August the 19th, Wednesday night, and that'll be the first one. We'll let you know more about that. It'll be a great Bible study for women. All right? What else we got? Warren, you got anything?
Yeah, youth worship this Wednesday night. We will meet, and we hope to see everybody there.
All right, golf tournament. It is August the 29th, not the 19th. I looked at that, and I was saying August the 19th, and that's a Wednesday, so we're not going to do that on a Wednesday. August the 29th. And look at that in your bulletin, get that information, and we'll have a sign-up sheet. I think it'll be on the old Lord's Supper table for those who want to be a part. That's always a fun day. Lake Days with our youth, July the 19th. Keep that in mind. Mature Adults, Oasis, sign-up, and that will be July the 30th on Thursday at First Baptist Church, Trustful. So sign up on the old Lord's Supper table for that as well. All right, Ken, got anything? All right, let's all stand and close and come by and say a word of encouragement to the Whitleys. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the